And a good day to you. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie here on EWTN Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani and you. And you are always the one who makes the show what it is. Hello, Debbie. Thanks for handling the show for us yesterday.
Yeah, and you did as well on Monday, so thank you. This is we're tag teaming. That's good. So you got to your destination safely, I presume. Am I correct?
Yeah. I mentioned on Monday, for those who may have missed it, I traveled north from where I live in California. I'm actually in eastern Oregon, and I'm at the home of some parishioners of St. Bernard Parish in Jordan Valley, Oregon. And it is remote. I don't have cell phone service, and the priest that I'm staying with has no TV or internet. So I came over to one of his parishioners' homes to hook up on the internet and do the radio show, and it is just lovely. Mm-hmm. There is snow on the ground. There are birds flying around and eating up the feeder right out in front of me, and the sun is shining brightly. So,
Nice. Yeah,
thanks to everyone for your prayers. Yeah, I made it safely, and I'm just here for a few days. I'll be doing the show, but other than that, we'll be doing some praying and celebrating Mass and just a little bit of a retreat. So I'd ask everyone for their prayers, if they would be so kind.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's great, Jerry. Yeah, we had a very, very vibrant discussion yesterday about beauty, and we're kind of switching gears today, Jerry. So I'm excited about today's topic, because we already had a lot of people weigh in late last night, because, you know, we post on our webpage, take2show.com. We post there the upcoming topic for the next day. And I was going to promote it yesterday at the end of the show, but I kind of left everybody in suspense. So they were waiting for me to post last night, and then everybody weighed in already. So this is going to be a very, very interesting discussion. So I'm not going to keep you in suspense any longer. The question we're asking today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie is, what would you do if you saw a crime being committed? Wow. What would you do if you saw a crime being committed? Now, if you have seen a crime being committed or it was in progress, what did you do? If you did something, could you share with us if that's okay? We want to hear from you. 1-833-288-3986. That's the number to call. And phone lines are open right now, so it's a perfect time for you to jump in and answer the question.
That's right, and you may have to ponder this for a minute or two, because it's not something we think about every day, although maybe it has occurred in your life at some point. And if it has, you can lead off with your experience of how you reacted. Did you, so many times, Debbie, in a situation like with a crime being committed, it is just instinct is what drives us, and that's all. We don't have time to think about it. So if you've seen maybe a minor crime, maybe you were involved at a major crime scene at some point, we'd love to hear. Maybe you just went into prayer immediately. Maybe that was your first reaction. 833-288-3986. Or if maybe you've thought about it. We live, Debbie, in an age when, you know, unfortunately things like this are happening more and more frequently. So maybe individuals, couples, families are even putting a strategic plan together. I don't know. I mean, but it's hard to know, I think, what we would do until we actually find ourselves in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the adrenaline starts rushing. It you have to be quick thinking. You have to obviously probably remain calm. But there's certain things, like, you know yourself in crisis situations, Jerry. And I'm interested to hear what our listeners have to say about this. If they saw something, would they just be quickly compelled to jump in or call the police, call 911, or do something? What if they saw guns or something? What if they saw something like that? Would that change the way they reacted? We want to get into this. I think it's very important, because it really does uncover a lot about ourselves, what we are willing to do. I mean, obviously, if you have small children with you, I mean, your first responsibility is to protect your children, you know. And so, Jerry, how do you balance that? How do you do that if you saw a crime being committed? There's a lot of angles we can take on this. But we really want to hear from you. What would you do if you saw a crime being committed? Maybe you did do something and you want to share with us the outcome of that, if it was positive or negative, or what the ramifications are. I know that some people say they in this day and age, Jerry, they wouldn't want to get involved because there's so many loopholes in how things can happen and backfire and all sorts of things, like you get sued or this or that. I don't know, all these crazy things in this world right now. So you know, people are fearful of it. You know, what happens? It's not as cut and dry as just saying, yes, I would jump in all the time. So would you agree with that, Jerry? I mean, it's not as black and white. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely not. No, that's why I said I think it would almost be a situation where you would have to experience it to know exactly what you would do. But I think we can give some thought to it and, you know, consider, you know, for example, what the crime might be. You know, if it's, you know, somebody beating up a little old lady, you know, I mean, I think there's no question we want to, you know, jump right in and try and defend that poor helpless individual. You know, if it's a gunman holding hostages, I mean, what do you do? I mean, do you get,
right.
First of all, you stay out of the way, you know, and let law enforcement do their job. But like I said, pray or, you know, it could be a lot of other things. Maybe you just see somebody stuffing their pockets full of chewing gum in the convenience store and getting ready to walk out. You know, what do you do then? Do you say something? Do you just ignore it? You know, so there's a lot of different scenarios.
There is. Well, Richard weighed in right after we posted the topic on our website, and he said, if a person can safely do so, the person should call the police. There was a physical assault by a man on a woman in the apartment above me. There was a slamming of doors, and I heard the woman scream, keep your hands off of me. I called 911, and several police cars were there in 3 minutes. This was a situation of two males living with a female. This arrangement was okay for months, and then it seemed to get sour. I also report disabled vehicles on the highway and anything else that is obviously wrong. And in big, bold letters, he wrote, always report. Thank you, Richard, for weighing in on this. See, everybody has some very strong views on what they would do if they, you know, saw something, heard something that was going on that just didn't feel right, Jerry.
Yeah, so the number again is 833-288-3986. You can comment on YouTube or EWTN Catholic Radio Facebook page. You can text your comment or your question, your insights, to text the letters EWTN to 55000. We have our website, take2show.com, where you can post your comments. You can email take2@EWTN.com. We got
it's,
so many
yes.
different ways.
I know.
Take two, yeah.
Take two, the number two, at EWTN.com.
Right, right.
You're right, Jerry.
Okay.
So we're ready to go. This is the question we're asking. What would you do if you saw a crime being committed? Weigh in on this, folks, because this is your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And when we come back from this very short break, we're going right to the phones to hear what you have to say about this important topic.
Always great to have you with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. We are on Monday through Friday, except occasionally when there is a preemption of some sort that happens during many of the holidays. And that is going to happen this Friday when EWTN is going to have wall-to-wall world-famous, world-renowned coverage of the March for Life from Washington, D.C. So there will be no live Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, but we encourage you to tune in all throughout that day because it's one of the most important days of the year in our nation and really around the world. And EWTN's own Father Mitch Pacwa is going to be one of the speakers at this year's March for Life. So we really encourage you to watch it on EWTN television or listen to it on most of these EWTN radio affiliates. So make a note of that. And Debbie and I get to sleep in, but we're usually up by that point anyway. So
oh, we'll be listening. Absolutely.
That's right.
Yes. Okay, let's hear what our loyal listeners have to say about this topic. What would you do if you saw a crime being committed? Kathy is first up in Atlanta, Georgia, on the quest. Hi, Kathy. Thanks so much for being the first one to come in on this important topic here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I love the show. It's a privilege to get to call in. I was sharing with your screener that my brother passed away before Christmas unexpectedly he was 66 on December 22nd. He passed away. And we were sharing stories at the funeral and such and kind of forgot about this story about him that happened some time ago. He was a manager at a Winn-Dixie store that was in a strip mall. And there was a very upscale jewelry store next door, and they got robbed. And somebody, like one of the customers, points out to my brother, like, oh, my gosh, look at that guy. He's robbed the bank. Or I mean, not the bank, but robbed the jewelry store. And so my brother's like, well, go, he just like took off. He just took off out the, you know, doors. And he's like, man, he had such a head start. Like everybody's like, he's never going to catch him, you know? And, anyway, he took out after him and, you know, adrenaline kicks in. And, anyway, so he ended up catching up to the guy, tackling him and, you know, like laying on the guy, you know, some other people came out there to help kind of hold him until the police could arrive. But anyway, the police, when they got there, they were very upset at him. They're like, you should not go after criminals. He could have been armed. He could have killed you. And, you know, this is not your job. You're not, you know, he's like, man, I couldn't let him get away. Like, I saw it. Didn't I caught the guy? Like, don't be mad at me. I was trying to help, like, or whatever. But the police are like, you're not supposed to do these things. This is how people get killed, innocent people. And but he's like, well, dude, I wasn't letting him get away. Like, this is what you do. You catch a robber. If you got a chance, you catch a robber. So I just, it made me think of him to share that story. And they tried to give him a little reward, the jewelry store. And he's like, no, like, this is what we're supposed to do. We, like, help each other. We watch out for each other. Like, this is just what you're supposed to do in the world. Like, you help the right thing. And if you see the wrong thing, well, you try to fix it, you know, kind of thing. So anyway, so that's just a cute story in my brother's memory. So,
wow. God rest his soul, Kathy. And yeah, it sounds like he had a hero's mentality, a hero's heart. And you can definitely hear that come through as you tell that story. Obviously the law enforcement officers are generally correct. I mean, they probably want to kind of, you know, not have, you know, unarmed, you know, citizens be putting themselves in harm's way like that. But see, here's the thing. I think why into the human heart is this notion of right and wrong and justice and injustice. And your brother had that very, very acutely wired into his heart and into his soul. And so he took action where, you know, it was just instinct that led him to do that. And the fact that he was offered something as a reward by the jewelry store and he turned that down, I mean, even that even more greatly emphasizes what kind of an amazing brother you had. Don't you think, Debbie? I mean, that's
Yeah. Totally. It shows his character. I mean, what a beautiful story you shared and like you said, in his memory. And we're so sorry. We're so sorry for your loss. He really sounded like a great guy, and he contributed greatly, obviously, to this world. Kathy, I know you said you love the show, so you must listen that we keep a prayer book for the living and the deceased. We would be so honored to enter his first name so that we can just continue to pray for the repose of his soul.
Oh, thank you. His name is Stephen, after St. Stephen, so thank you.
Oh, nice. That with a V or P-H?
Yes. S-T-E-P-H-E-N.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. What, you know, and I just wanted to say, Jerry used a really key word there, you know, his instinct. You know, his instinct, and like you said, the adrenaline kicked in. But, you know, when your instinct tells you to do something that is just so heroic, that's got to transition in the rest of your life. Because if your instinct is like that, he didn't even blink. He went. He just did it because he knew it was the right thing to do. And I just wanted to say that just goes to show, you know, what a beautiful interior spirit he has. And I just think that's wonderful. We need to hear more stories like that, so it gives people the courage to do things that are uncomfortable. Because like you said, even when you were sharing how the law enforcement said, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't. See, that would have been my first, I would have been like, oh, I made a mistake. You know, I shouldn't have done that, you know, but he didn't. He just, he did what he felt was right. And that just goes to show what kind of person he was. And I think that's fabulous. Kathy, thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. Bless you, Kathy. Thanks for listening on The Quest. Take two with Jerry and Debbie. What would you do if you saw a crime being committed, or has this experience taken place in your life? 833-288-3986. And Pat is next, listening on The Rock in Cleveland, Ohio. Hello, Pat. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, Jerry. Hello, Debbie. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Pat.
I remember one time, some years back, I was walking down the street in downtown Cleveland, and I saw this man pushing a woman and yelling at her and hitting her. And I walked up on them and I said, hey, I said, you can't do that. And I said, stop. And she said, shut up, get away, mind your own business.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, well, I did the right thing. And so you should all, if you're doing the right thing, that doesn't mean the right thing is going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. You dropped out just for a second.
Just be ready
there, Pat.
For. Just always be ready for anything.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you dropped out just for a second, Pat. You said that you went up and tried to intervene, and it was the victim who said, go away, get away, don't do that?
She said, mind your own business. Yeah, okay. She said, shut up, mind your own business.
Wow. Did well, she explain why?
I knew I did the right thing. But and I think that happens, though, in life. That's one reason why some people are victims, is because they're willing to take stuff from people. But maybe she'll remember that somebody else saw that it was wrong, what was happening.
Well, Pat, it's interesting that you're bringing this example up, because it jogged my memory when I was in ministry at one of the parishes that I worked at. It was a Sunday afternoon, and a father apparently got very upset with his son in mass. I guess he was being disruptive, and he took the boy outside of the church, and he began beating the boy in on the side of the church. And I happened to be walking past and going back into the church, because I was doing work there, and I saw it, and I did the exact same thing. I said, get your hands off of him. And he did the same thing. He turned to me and he said, mind your own business. And I said, absolutely not. I was furious. I when you see that happening, even if they think they have the right to do it, or they can do it, or they, you know, it's none of our business or whatever, it's still, I think the fact that you said it, I agree with you, because it's going to stick with them. I believe the same thing. I believe me yelling at this father to stop beating his son, especially outside of church, my goodness, that I feel like that's could stick with him. You know, the next time he goes and puts his hand on that boy, he might remember my voice screaming at him. So I feel the same way. You still got to do it, even if you get reprimanded or yelled at or whatever. I agree with you, Pat. What do you think, Jerry?
No, yeah, I think so too. I couldn't add anything to what you said, and I think that it's just like what Pat said. You know, it's interesting that this lady would react that way, and what he said. Some people just, you know, want to be victims. I can't imagine being attacked or being beat up and telling someone who came over to help me to go away and don't intervene on my behalf. I mean, it just seems kind of weird, but. You know, I guess maybe she knew the person, you know, maybe there was just some kind of a, you know, a relational, like relationship spat or something. I don't know. But Pat, yeah. I mean, you obviously did the right thing, and hopefully every one of us, hopefully I would react the same way if I was in a situation like that.
Right. Right. Yeah, me too. And I just want to clarify something. When I just said about, you know, this father beating this child outside of church, it's not okay. It's never okay to do that. Never. But, you know, the thought of having it being done right outside of church, it sets such a horrible example of what, you know, what the relationship is with God and everything. I mean, you can't mix those two. You can't mix that. So I just wanted to clarify that, Jerry, because that came up on a previous show. Remember that about, sending signals, to our children about right. What our faith is all about. But yeah, back to Pat real quickly. Jerry, you got some relationship issues, domestic abuse and stuff. I heard it happens all the time. You go to step in to protect the victim, and they start defending the person, the assailant. I mean, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. But I think, you know, you get so beaten down emotionally and mentally, you don't even know what's right anymore. So maybe it is time for more of us to speak up. See it. When you see something, you say something, you know?
Yeah. And I think if something like that is going on and somebody says they don't want your help, I mean, it's still the right thing to do, to help. I mean, if somebody is being attacked by somebody else, that's just not, it's a horrible injustice. And I mean, what do you do? Do you say, oh, okay, well, and walk away or what? I don't know. I mean, it's just, maybe there's a codependence there if it's a relationship issue or something like that. But anyway, let's continue along. Real Presence Radio is where we go. Julie, listening to Take Two with Jerry and Demi in Bismarck, North Dakota. Julie, what's your take on this topic today?
Well, when I first heard the question, my immediate reaction was, you know, of course I would probably report a crime. Then it took me back about 15 years ago in my experience. I was at just a local dollar store picking up a few supplies, and I came upon a lady, an elderly lady in a wheelchair. And just to kind of further describe, she was, you know, she had two amputated legs, And she had this blanket around her, winter coat in the middle of the winter. And I noticed, and I had to look twice, but she was taking goods off of the shelf and putting them under her blanket, in her coat. And I thought, you know, it kind of took me back. And so I proceeded to do some shopping and came back a couple of times to check in. And I had noticed two or three additional times she would take items off of the shelf and she would put them under her blanket, in between her blanket and her wheelchair, or in her coat. And I was so disturbed. I was uncertain what to do. And I thought, okay, you know, I'll wait to check out until she checks out, just to see if she brings those items to the counter. And needless to say, you know, there was a transit bus outside waiting to pick her up. And she proceeded to check out without, you know, putting any of those items that she had stuffed in her coat and under her blanket. And she went out the door, and I was still battling with my mind as to what I do. She proceeded to get onto the bus and drove away, and I did nothing. And it had bothered me for months. And even to this day, I had a discussion with my children and husband, and it was so disturbing. I just felt like either way, you know, it was not a good situation. It was kind of a lose-lose situation either way, whether I report it or whether I don't. So that was, you know, it's just interesting how my first response was, of course, I would report something. And then it took me back to that time period 15 years ago, if not more, when I experienced somebody shoplifting, you know, and being a handicapped elderly lady.
Right. Yeah, I think you're making a good point, Julie. We you know, we think about it, we just sit here, you know, in the comfort of wherever we are right now, in not in a situation like that, and we say, well, yeah, of course I would do something. Here's what I would do. I would do this. I would do that. But then we find ourselves in that actual situation, and boy, you know, you are really pointing out a tough call here, because you're looking at this individual with great sympathy and compassion, and you're thinking, boy, she may not have enough to eat. Yeah, and she needs food. You know, in hindsight, you know, maybe you've thought of this already, but I, perhaps, you know, it might be appropriate at a situation like that to go up to her and say, you know, ma'am, you know, I realize I've seen what you're doing here. You know it's not right, and I know it's not right, and it looks like you need food. You need something. You need provisions. May I buy this food for you? Or, you know, maybe intercede in that way, or, you know, but because, I mean, I don't know what a store owner is going to do. Debbie, what do you think? I mean, if somebody like that is shoplifting, I don't know what is a store owner going to call the police. I mean, the store owner is going to look at her with the same, you know, perhaps sympathy and compassion too. Right. So
I tell you what, as you were speaking, my heart just went out to you, Julie, because I was trying to put myself in your shoes, and I'm going, wow, you were just caught. You couldn't move either way. You know, it wasn't going to be a real pleasant, you know, circumstance in the end. And so I don't know. I don't know. The thing I do know is I don't think you should beat yourself up over it anymore after 15 years. I think, you know what I mean? What was done was done. You know, the good Lord will take care of it. I'm sure it didn't bankrupt the store. You know, if something really bad happened, you know, to the store or something afterwards because this lady kept doing this or whatever, well, then I can understand maybe a little, you know, feeling a little guilty. But you know what? I would let that go, because it sounds like you have such a good heart and such a warm heart, and you're trying to do the best. You were caught. It's a tough situation. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know how you would handle that. I guess you could go up afterwards after she left and say, hey, she was doing this. I don't know. Did I hear that correctly? Could you have done that after she had pulled away in the bus?
You know, I certainly could have, and maybe they would have earmarked her and remembered. You know, again, it was, you know, and you make a good point, you know, as far as the food items, but it was all, you know, just, it was in a dollar store, and so just decorations and right, paper products and that kind of thing.
Julie, we got to get to a break here. Forgive us. Hold on just 1 second, and we'll get a final thought from you on the other side.
This is is your show, Take Two, with Jerry and Debbie. And we're talking to Julie in Bismarck, North Dakota, about the question that we posed. What would you do if you saw a crime being committed? And Julie was sharing her experience 15 years ago. Julie, I'm so glad we had the break because it allowed me to collect my thoughts. This probably back then, I mean, you can't go back and rewind the clock. You can't do that. Okay. But, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes when you bring forth, or if these things still bother you, sometimes the good Lord allows you to experience it again in a different way. And it's very interesting how life works out. So maybe this is a good conversation, because probably if this ever happened to you again, or something similar to this, my initial thought would be to report it to them afterwards and let them know. So you, like, just like you said, so they could mark this lady and flag her so that they know and be aware of it. And I think that would have, I think they would have been pleased that you had, you know, stepped up and said you noticed that, because maybe they were waiting for more information on her to determine, you know, how much she actually takes, you know, from the store and stuff. But going back to the 15 years, that you were in a tough situation. You have to, I mean, I feel bad for you. So I don't know if, but I just want you to kind of be ready, because it's happened to me in my life. You know, things that have bothered me in the past, somehow they resurface in a different way to allow me to try it again. So I don't know if that ever dawned on you.
No, that's a very good point. And, you know, I feel some peace just knowing that the comment you made, that it kind of prepares you maybe for the next time around. And how we would handle ourselves or the situation. But it really takes me back, you know, when one wants to answer questions so quickly, like I said, it's easy to say, of course, I would report that. But it really humbles you in when you're in a situation like that, what you feel, what your heart and your mind is telling you. It goes back and forth.
Right.
Thank you, Julie. Thanks for a great phone call and for sharing that experience with us. We appreciate that. By the way, at email, take2@ewtn.com, Tom said it's an easy rule of thumb. If you see something, say something. If you let someone get away with someone stuffing candy in their pockets, you're on your way to ignoring the destitute and poor and people who really need your help. He says, love y'all. Thanks, Tom. So Tom wanted to weigh in on that, Debbie, as well. So a lot of good responses today.
Yeah, and we were mentioning that. See it, say it. Yeah, I think that's important. But we do have to have the courage, Jerry, because we're going to go up against, you know, people saying you shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have gotten involved. Let's hear what Norma has to say in Salem, Missouri, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Norma. Thank you for waiting, and welcome to Take Two.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead, Norma.
As a retired deputy sheriff, I advise not to intervene, because during my career, I've seen innocent people, good Samaritans, wanting to help and do something, and you can end up in a tragedy. It's really, really sad. Considering today's technology, my advice would be, if you see something going on, snatch your cell phone, take pictures, especially of license plates, if it's all possible. But above all, call 911, because you have to think, you have to put your best interest and, I know this sounds selfish, but your best interest and those of your family, because they would survive you should something happen. And as Julie was talking about the disabled person in the dollar store, you gave her some very good advice. After the person's gone, then report it to management and let, you know, then it's on their shoulders to handle it how they would handle it. But what it all boils down to is, put it all in God's hands. Give it over to the Lord, whatever happens.
Well, I'll tell you what, Norma, you have made some comments here that other people agree with you on, and they're all very, very wonderful comments. By the way, thank you for your service as a deputy sheriff. God bless you for that. You put yourself in harm's way many times, and we are grateful for that. And I would agree. I mean, if you're not only putting yourself in danger, but you mentioned your family, if you have one, your loved ones, and it could actually provoke a dangerous armed person to do something that maybe they otherwise might not do. So it could actually increase the likelihood that a victim might be injured or killed. And I just wanted to mention that Jane, one of our regular listeners, Norma, emailed and said, "Hi, Jerry and Debbie," and this really gets at what you were saying, Norma. She says, "Pray first, call the angels, then get some ID, take pictures if possible, and call 911. And she says, my traffic app on my phone allows us to report, and the GPS knows exactly where we are." So there are a lot of, especially Debbie, with growing technology, there are ways to handle this. But you know, it's understandable that people want to be those good Samaritans, like Norma said.
Yeah, absolutely. Norma, I just want to echo what Jerry said. Thank you so much for your service and all you've done to protect all of us in this world. Thank you for that. And I just wanted to ask you a question, because this is always, I was always curious about this, and I've really never gotten an answer. So I just want to ask you real quickly. So you said, when you say call 911, every time I've ever called 911 to report something, that may be happening or that I see or that I'm witnessing, the very first question they ask me is, "What is your name? Where are you located?" And it makes me feel very uneasy. Like now I'm being, you know, interrogated, if you will. I just kind of want to give my two cents and then go on my way. What do they do with that, your name and your information? I mean, because I always thought to myself, well, what if it's a major crime you are exposing, and then they know your name and then they come after you and your family? I mean, I'm always thinking 10 steps down the road. So Norma, tell me about that. Like, why do they have to have your name and your location and everything?
Okay. And It's a precaution in case even 911 lines go down. I was a 911 operator for years. It is in case you get disconnected, or, you know, it's not that they're suspecting you. They just need to know, so especially your location, so they can get police units on their way while they're gathering information from you, mm-hmm. then they can get that information while the police or sheriff's department are on their way to the scene, and they can transmit over the radio. You know, it's kind of like juggling, but it's never used. It's always confidential.
Oh, it is. Okay. Okay. See, that's good to know. That gives security for when people pick up. And okay, that's good.
Norma,
911 records.
Go ahead.
911 records are not open to the public in general. Now, okay. If it is needed in a court record, then it has to be subpoenaed, and only the relevant items can be disclosed.
Well, before we let you go, Norma, one other quick thing. And by the way, Diane and Caroline and Chelsea, our other callers, hang on. We're going to get to all of you. You have made the same point, I think, that other people have. You know, make a call to 911. Don't necessarily try to be the hero and so forth. But, you know, so often, Norma, we see on TV, when somebody does something heroic like this, they jump in, they chase down somebody with a gun, and they're a hero, and they, you know, they save somebody's life or something. The media, the TV, you watch it on TV, and they put this out there, and they put it out there like this person has done this great thing, and maybe they have, but it sort of tends to glorify that. So you're saying one thing, and yet the media sometimes, you know, hold these people up as heroes. It almost maybe gives people the impression that this is how we should act in a situation like that. So you're saying
it's sensationalized. It's oh my heavens. Real life is not a television news report. You're dealing with real time, real life emergencies, mm-hmm. and you have to make split second decisions. And those decisions that you make can have a forever impact on you, your family, innocent bystanders. Because if someone is armed, they don't, if they're armed and involved in a crime, they are not worried about innocent bystanders. If you try to approach them, you, as well as other innocents, could be harmed. And,
Well, this, what you have
I
to
lost,
share.
I lost a deputy because she went to try, she went in front of, lunged in front of our sheriff. And she, they both were shot, but she was shot and killed. Ugh. So we can't, you know, it happens to law enforcement officers as well as, you know, John and Jane Doe out in the public.
Right, right. Well, Norma, you gave us some really, really great advice on this. You know, I what I wrote down is, you know, to act responsibly, to get your cell phone out, get license plates, call 911, you know, and to really be aware of your surroundings and to, you know, and to cautiously approach these things. And that is super helpful. I just want to say thank you so much. I mean, this was an answer to our prayers because when we did this topic, we really wanted and to give it to God. Yeah, we give it to God and to pray and to, you know, we have to mention that as well. But Norma, we prayed that we had some experts who have been in the field and have frequently come across this, and you answered that call. So thank you so much. We really believe that was Holy Spirit prompted. So God bless you. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Thank you,
Norma.
God bless you for your program.
Thank you so much. 833-288-3986. Dave said on YouTube, he says, a year ago, my brother chased a shoplifter and caught them, held them until the police came. I think you need to keep your distance and just try and get a description and license plate numbers. It was instinctive for my brother to do. That's what Dave said. So, yeah, Debbie's talking about the instinctive thing, and sometimes that takes over, and we just do what we do without really thinking about it at first.
Right.
Yeah, so
I think one of the greatest takeaways of this show today and the discussion, Jerry, is that we have to have, and we should be using our cell phones ready to go to take a snap a picture. You know, I think that is really key. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. With technology that we have, and like Jane said, with a lot of you know, GPS apps, it gets your location. And so, yeah, there are emerging ways of taking care of this that maybe didn't exist 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 or 100 years ago. So,
very true.
All right, you've got a lot more calls here. We're going to get to, as we said, Diane, thank you for waiting in Columbia, South Carolina, to take two with Jerry and Debbie. Thanks for joining us, Diane. Welcome.
Hi, Jerry and Debbie. Thank you so much. My story is kind of like Julie's, where it happened several years ago. And it's a minor thing, but I was going through a fast food drive-thru. And my total order was like some odd cents. And I gave the girl, I don't remember whether it was a $10 or a $20 bill, and she was really angry with me, and she's like, don't you have the exact change? And I'm like, no, this is all I have. And so as she was putting my bill into the till and getting my change out, I saw her take some other bills and stuff them in her pocket. And I was really taken aback, and I'm like, I'm thinking to myself what I need to do, and I didn't want to confront her right there, and I didn't want to ask for the manager right in front of her, because like Norma said, I didn't know what she might do. But I knew that I couldn't just drive off and just let it go. So after I got my food, I drove around to the front of the restaurant and went in, and I was shaking inside, because I could just imagine this girl seeing me at the counter and coming out and verbally or physically attacking me, but probably verbally attacking me. And I asked for the manager very quietly, the manager came out, and I told her what I saw. And she thanked me and said that they had suspected her of doing something like that, but they had never been able to catch her.
Wow. Okay, so now you just jogged my memory from like 20 years ago, Diane. So I want to say thank you for how you handled that, because I think that was very safe for you. I have a background in a hospitality industry, hotel restaurant management, and we used to get calls on a frequent basis of people similar to what the circumstances that you're talking about, where they would witness an employee be stealing as a, you know, a bartender or a wait staff or something of that nature. And they would call us and say, listen, I didn't want to report it right there and then because I don't want them to know who I am. I don't want them to follow me to my car or look at my license plate. I don't want them to, you know, somehow retaliate. So we would get calls all the time, and we would say to them, thank you so much for stepping up, and your comments are going to remain confidential. Thank you so much. Now we can mark that with the employee to see, you know, if it keeps going on and we get other calls that come in. So I think the way, you handled it, I thought was, you know, really well done, because you protected, yourself, your identity, and you also, I think handled it in just a really calm way, because sometimes I think when you see somebody stealing, it's a knee-jerk reaction to say, hey, there's a thief, you know, somebody's stealing. Well, that may not be the right way to go about it right at that point, because then other things could escalate after that. So I think it sounds like it was very calm, and the manager appreciated it, and it sounds like you could go back to that drive-through again and feel comfortable going through. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, it was not a restaurant that I frequented, but I did go every once in a while, and I know I never saw her again.
Okay.
And it may have been calm on the outside, but it definitely wasn't calm on the inside, because my mother raised me stressing honesty.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot stand dishonesty. And, but at the same time, I don't like direct confrontation. I won't start a confrontation.
Right.
I'll finish one, but I won't start a confrontation. So I was really terrified going into the restaurant, because I knew that where she stood at the drive-thru, she could see me at the mm-hmm. counter. Yeah, and
right.
I was just hoping that she wouldn't turn around and see me.
Right.
But and I gave the manager my information in case they needed it for anything, because I figured, you know, if they fired her, you know, she may sue them or something. But like I said, it may have been calm on the outside, but not on the inside. But I thank you for that compliment.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you, Diane. We appreciate your experience of this. It helps us to understand it better, and it helps us to become aware, don't you think, Jerry? Just that these things are out there, and they could happen to us at any moment. When we go out into the public, you know, things are going to happen, and we've got to know how to approach them and be ready.
Yeah, Janet said via email, my first response to this question, if I was the one being attacked, threatened, or being violated, how grateful I would be if someone intervened for me. And she says, call, pray, act sensibly. Blessings. And that is from Janet. And by the way, on YouTube, Jaime, I think it's Jaime, Jamie, or Jaime, said, this past Monday in East Orlando, my nephew became a hero. During a home invasion, he was able to protect the children in the home and gave up his life for them. His name was Alex, and he was 20. And he provided the internet link here to the story, where it does sound like this young man, 20 years old, Alex, four men invaded the home. They were armed, and he would not let them pass through to where some of the people were, and he gave his life for that.
Oh,
so let's all pray for Alex and give thanks to God for his heroism. Thank you, Jaime, for alerting us to that. My goodness.
How sad. I just entered Alex's name in our prayer book.
Thank you. That just breaks
my heart. Oh, wow. Okay, Caroline, wow, you've been waiting so patiently almost on the entire show, listening on Alexa. Hi, Caroline. You're in Michigan.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. You You have a wonderful, wonderful program. It's very informative.
Thank you.
During my working times, I worked a lot of years in retail, and I witnessed two people, actually three, trying to retail shoplift. And the first one was two big muscular men trying to walk out of a store carrying some merchandise. And this was Christmas time. There was a lady sitting on a bench near the front door with me, which I didn't know. She had a lot of packages, as well as I did. And these two men looked to the left and looked to the right. Okay, big stoplight goes off in my mind, and I say to them, "What are you doing?" They said, "Nothing." And they immediately ran out the front doors. So I told her, "I'll watch your packages. You go in the store and tell them they, those guys took something." So the guys, the workers inside the store, ran out their back door, followed those guys across the parking lot that stole the merchandise. The stolen merchandise was shoved underneath one of the vehicles out in the parking lot, and at least they got their merchandise back. But that was just that case at Christmas time. The second time was when my husband and I were shopping with a lady that was our neighbor at the time. She was sort of elderly, and my husband and I walked toward the back of the store, and she was towards the front looking over a rotating display. And all of a sudden, she started looking towards my husband and I. Okay, big red light goes off again. Now, what is she doing? Okay, so I told my husband, "You go up there and see what she's doing. If she wants something, you get it for her." So he did, and he paid for a little piece of junk jewelry that she wanted. But I think I stopped both of them in their tracks, and I hope the old lady doesn't do it again, and I hope the men don't steal from the
small appliance store again. Way to go, Caroline. I just want to say real quickly, if I ever go into battle, I want you next to me, okay? That's all I'm going to say.
As long as it's not physical, okay?
Okay.
Well, yeah, you did. Go ahead, Caroline.
My son in a different town was taking a walk around the block with his wife, and a man and woman were walking sort of in front of them, but a little distance away. And the man was starting to hit the wife or the woman. Mm-hmm. And my son said something, and they kept on going and kept on doing that. And my son, having his cell phone with him, called 911 right there on the spot. And the police came as they were still walking around the block. Police handled it.
Good. Well, thank God. Yeah,
that was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank God that the police showed up, and that was the right thing to do. Call 911 there, and he did try to say something, and they just kept on going. So, Caroline, thank you for your call.
Right.
Thank you for your sense of justice and for taking care of those two instances that you mentioned earlier in your life, you and the one with your husband. Let's try to get to Chelsea in Hilliard, Ohio, listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Got about a minute and a half, Chelsea. Sorry to limit you there, but we wanted to get you on. Thanks for holding.
No problem. May I talk fast?
Sure.
real quick here. It seems I was raised, my mom said, "See something, say something." So from a very early age, I did. And I think if we think of two words, expect it. We're always going to see something. And I don't know if you said this earlier. I stepped into 12 o'clock mass, and it had been changed to 10 this morning, so I didn't hear the very beginning. But what I also was taught is help someone avoid the occasion of sin.
Mm.
So I would think that, and then I would pray real quick to the Holy Spirit. And then it started as early as when a kid would cheat in my class. I know I worked really hard, and a lot of us did the study and get a good grade. I would simply look at them, and this was the time I would have eye contact, and I'd make a funny face and just shake my head no. So it always got their attention, and it kind of lightened the mood that I was making a face.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
If they still cheated, I'd tell the teacher afterwards in private. Mm-hmm. And they were good Catholic teachers. They kept that in confidence. Another time I had a neighbor call me real quick because there was a domestic violence situation. I came over. I protected myself at the door when I asked her, "Are there any guns in the house?" If there were, I would not have gone in. I would have tried to get her to leave. She wouldn't leave because the sheriff was en route, and he's the one that reached them first. So I was, and I was able to listen to the police real quick. They actually had everything backwards from what had happened. I listened respectfully, and then I, they had it where she was going to have to go downtown because domestic violence, someone is going downtown. So it was a weekend. I said to the sheriff, I said, I don't know how you ever cut through this. I can't imagine. You know, I probably wouldn't be good at it, but I need you to hear this. I told him what really did happen, and I showed him all the damage in the family room where he almost killed her, and there were broken phones everywhere. Wow. He was like 6 foot. She was 5'2".
Oh, wow.
Anyways, I was able to get him to reverse it. So when they went back upstairs to talk to him, he was very angry, and they did take him downtown.
Chelsea, thank you so much. We appreciate that. See it, say it. That's how we were raised, so we're going to stick with that. Mike from Albany says, Edmund Burke's quote, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." That's a very powerful quote, Jerry.
Yeah, and what we do is dependent on the circumstances. Our advice to you folks, again, pray, call authorities, stay out of the way if there's danger. Be prudent. Be very, very prudent. Your soul and your life are far more important. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day.